Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and we're going to get hyper intelligent today with our next CEO and founder of Arc Defense System. He's an incredible competitor on Go Fund Yourself, Christopher Trocola. Welcome to the Playbook.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, trust me. I love the conversation that we're about to have. The reason I know that is I love the company that you have, and you as an entrepreneur are truly an icon in a very crowded and cumbersome space when we talk about the current state of AI and where it's going and how close we are to this ubiquitous super intelligence that I think is coming faster than most people realize. Let's start with the current state of AI, because your business deals with where we are today and where we think we're going to be in the future. Give me a little bit of your analysis of what's stable, what's doing well, what you think will be doing well in the future, applicable to Arc Defense Systems.
Yeah, absolutely. AI is, I guess the best way to put it, is the Wild Wild West right now, right? I think we're all seeing that. I'm looking at it from that hierarchy of business. First come the dreamers, the business, the bankers, salespeople, sharks, and thieves, right? We're still in the bankers era. So salespeople are kind of figuring out what they can sell, how they can sell it. And I think that's where most of fraud is coming from, most of the unwitting participants of deceptive practices with AIs coming into play, not having ethics to par, not having regulation trained properly, no compliance. So we're seeing this constantly. I actually was working with an HR company last week, and they were telling me a story about one of their clients that used AI to remove all candidates that would take extended leave over the next year. That seems like a pretty fair ask for an AI, right? Well, yeah, yeah. It took out 100% of all women between the ages of 18 and 40. That's not good.
Yeah,
that's not good. Yeah. That's where we're at with AI. It's as good as the information it's trained on and the prompt that you give it. And unfortunately, everybody has access to train these things and build these tools, and there's no compliance standards yet.
I'd like you to review once again or repeat once again the corruption downfall from business to bankers to, you said,
okay, like, so yeah, it's, so it's actually, I heard it in Landman, Billy Bob Thornton's character. Yeah,
love that.
So it's first come the dreamers, that's the entrepreneurs, that's us, right?
Yeah.
Then come the bankers, and then salespeople, sharks, and thieves, and that's the general cycle of all industry.
And then the lawyers are below the thieves, but that's okay.
I'm a lawyer.
And so as we talk about where we are today with the dreamers and the bankers and where this opportunity to provide value lies, there's no doubt that AI will be a participant. But why don't more people spend the time to get engaged, train, and practice, or even know about this?
AI is not new, right? But it feels like it's everywhere. Like, it feels new, but it's not new, and it's already everywhere. So people already feel like they're behind the ball. That's the biggest problem. And when you feel like you're behind the ball on something, you have a tendency to cut corners to try to catch up to where you think everybody else is. And that's part of the reason is because the entire world's obsessed with the end product. They don't care about the journey. This is something that we learn as entrepreneurs. The journey is what makes who you are. It develops your character. And AI cuts that entire portion out. So when we're trying to get into the space in this arena of AI, you're seeing these incredible videos and these great detailed reports and all these things, not understanding that you are sacrificing a big portion of either your soul, because you're going to sell out to put somebody else's life or their company or their personal financial status at risk, or you're going to end up selling out yourself in that sense in order to be able to make sure that you can get whatever tool you're trying to develop to market. So they just cut out compliance.
And within the context of compliance and AI, a lot of people do understand and are pursuing and practicing the utilization of super intelligence, AGI, and utilizing AI. But AI can use, in a sense of, we'll go past Landman, we'll go to the Dow, the 81 versus the Dow. there's a force and then there's a counterforce. I was curious how AI can be the counterforce to AI fraud.
There's a lot of different areas, and I think the one I'm going to focus on most is AI hallucinates, right? AI can be very easily manipulated, and I convinced it one time that I can use a glass of water in my AirPods to teleport from my office to the kitchen, so I didn't have to walk over there. It just took a couple of extra prompts. Okay, so being a counter to fraud itself on a personal level, social scams. This is where most of the fraud is coming in from generative tools and AI in its current state are social scams. They're social engineered scams. It's developing systems that protect humans first. We already have our computers, our phones, all that stuff is already secure. We need to protect it from the human level and how it interacts with our 3D world. I think that's the problem we have to attack and where we really need to make our focus at.
And specifically with Arc and Arc Defense Systems, where in the business spectrum are you sitting today to make the most money?
We're sitting right in that middle. It's that barrier between AI and humans. Keep
Okay.
AI in its own world, keep humans in their own world, and create a safety mechanism so they can interact correctly and safely.
As early as we are, we're pre-chasm to the mass implementation of AI and force and counterforce. There are some laws in place, although I'm sure early and there'll be many more. What laws are in place that are actually impactful and useful?
I think the biggest one that everybody's looking at is more of a foundational for the rest of the world to follow is the EU AI Act 2024. So they just started putting Parliament in there in August. They're going to start really pushing hard on how AI interacts with the EU and anybody in the EU. It puts in a risk categories. So we're seeing chatbots and or what is it? Gaming systems, so like general AI and gaming systems, that's low risk. Moderate risk would be more like what we see on social media, chatbots. That's a lot of social engineering scams that we see there, dating apps. Then you have moderate risk. So AI driving cars, we're seeing them kidnapping people, taking them to Disneyland, right? Did you ever see that video? Yeah. So it's little systems like that, right? Does it know a road from a river? Medical diagnosis, is it going to diagnose cancer correctly? Like that was actually a big deal. They misdiagnosed me at first and then found out later that I had cancer. And they could because they initially used an AI. And that's a higher risk category. The unacceptable risk in the EU AI Act would be manipulative deep fakes, biometric ID in public spaces, social scoring, things like that. But it's already being used in a lot of countries in a lot of ways. In the US, I just read a report recently, there's over 18,000 law enforcement agencies that are using predictive AI policing. Have you heard about this?
No, that sounds cool though.
It sounds cool. And then we watch Minority Report and remember, oh, this probably isn't that good of an idea, right?
Right,
Because it's
exactly.
determining whether
Well,
or not
I mean,
you're
when
going to
you're talking
commit a
about
crime.
AI, all we have to do is watch movies when you're talking about AI, and you can see some things are just not a good idea. And we're already seeing the movies proving out that some things are a bad idea.
AI's been proven on multiple studies across multiple universities and independent studies that AI is inherently biased and racist. Not
Yeah.
because of the way it's trained. That's just the data. That's just how AI is. It sees black and white. It doesn't see, there's no emotion. There's no empathy programmed into these systems. That's where super intelligence comes into play in the future, right? But how does that work with our current state?
Now let me shift gears a tiny bit that I know is something relative to both of us. I think that there's three things that our kids need to practice and study and pay attention to. Number one is AI. No doubt about it. Our kids should be using it every day and studying it and practicing it. Two, I believe, is door-to-door sales. If I could get my kids to knock on 150 doors a day, 7 days a week in a year, I promise they will never starve. They will be super duper successful because as much as people don't know how to use AI, we are going to be the exceptional 1% of the 1% of the 1% for the people that know how to cold call, door knock. So that's really important. And then three, reading. Because you have mentioned on several occasions just in the last 11 minutes that people need to know what's fake and what's real, reading is the best way to develop the understanding of the imagination, utilization of the imagination, but also utilization of reality and knowing the difference between imagination, fake, and real. I think that's going to be a capability that's going to be very valuable with these three combos. I would either like you to elaborate on anything I said that resonates with you, or elaborate on something that you are in strong disagreement with my future empowerment plan for my kids.
I think you hit the money right on the mark, right? It's your strongest weapon is your brain. It's 100%. It's how you intake information and then how you're able to utilize that information. And books are an amazing way. Any way you read, anything you read, it's not about just intaking it. It's having that, it's working on your discernment, right? There's no such thing as bad advice, right? And that's all books are. They're advice from somebody else's perspective in their life. So you need to practice self-discernment in that. And I think door knocking is honestly, it's so great. I did it for 15, 16 years. I started off Kirby vacuum cleaners back in 2007.
Yeah. Right?
And I did it all the way through alarms and solar. And I built my first solar company off of that and grew it to 27 territories in under 3 years and had this great exit. And that's actually what led me into tech right after that. But, and then I remember growing up, everybody's like, you need to learn how to code. You need to learn develop, because I was growing up in a world of internet was just starting to become a huge deal, right? I graduated 2004. So the entire world was starting to learn coding. And I'm like, nah, I don't need to know that, because I'm listening to the wrong advice. And I wasn't listening to the smarter people writing the books. I was listening to the people who were saying, no, internet's not going to take our jobs. Internet's not going to do these things. Read. Listen to the smart people. Listen to people who have a book for just 5 minutes. They've been through something.
Yeah. To finish up, you know, there's so much opportunity in the business of ARC. And you mentioned you sit between the counterforce and the human being, which means there's a broad spectrum of services and solutions that you can provide. How do you decide where you want to sit, and who is your ideal customer?
Ideal customers are small to medium sized businesses, enterprise on, you know, a future level is where we're looking at. But where we sit is really on that protection of the humanity standard, on the way that we communicate with technology. We started communicating with technology on a verbal level with Siri and Alexa, and it became a joke to us. Like, it really did. My favorite joke from Siri was, what's 0 divided by 0? And it told me I didn't have any friends, right? That's that's been our experience with communicating. It was great. It doesn't do it anymore, but that was a running joke on the internet for years. And we've communicated with technology inappropriately or inconsistently and not developed a barrier on how we interact with it. And it's kind of taken over our lives, right? So I'm kind of in that spectrum of how do we keep it from communicating to take over our lives, which is going to help save a lot of jobs as we start to automate more and it starts to replace more jobs. And the education portion of it of, look, you need to adapt or adopt. It's actually a book that I just released called AI Revolution, Adapt or Adopt. It's on Amazon right now. And I actually let AI write 90% of it. And I had to go back and fix most of it because AI is not perfect.
Yeah. Progress is 0 to 1. It helps so much in the starting momentum building side, whether it's trainings and writing books and forwards and comments. The other things, which is really interesting about hyper-technical people like yourself, is that one, like every entrepreneur, you're driven by resilience. Like, that's commonplace, the common denominator of all great entrepreneurs, and your success throughout the years has been you have a desire that you must be what you can be. But what's unique about you and what I am most attracted to and feel very confident in is it's not that you're just driven by resilience, it's resilience and faith. You know you're protected and promoted, loved and perfected. And if someone was going to run a business that was about AI defense like ARC, and I would want them not only to be resilient, but also to understand faith of a higher level of protection. And it's one that goes beyond resilience. It's one that has, you know, not just financial gain to consumer protection, but ethical innovation, which is necessary for the leaders in this space. For you, how important is your faith when you're making ethical innovation considerations to help protect humanity?
It's everything. I wouldn't be where I am without God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wear this every day for a reason, every single day. It's the first thing I put on in the morning, and it's the last thing I take off at night. So, I believe this vision was given to me by God on where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to build, and how I'm supposed to do it. I never saw myself, especially with the background I grew up in. I grew up a single mom of three boys. I didn't have a higher education. I didn't go to college. I sold vacuum cleaners, and then I got to this point where all of a sudden I'm elevated to a place where I'm helping influence laws across the country, and I'm working with government agencies. And then when I got cancer, it all got taken away, and then God gave it all back again. I didn't deserve it. So this isn't to really make money for myself or to even elevate myself. I believe 100% I'm driven by a mission to protect humanity, protect God's creation from man's creation. Chaos Theory, Jurassic Park. Tie it back to the movie,
Yeah.
right?
We may be God's AI anyway. Nonetheless, even God probably
We
needs a little.
are. Yeah. We're an avatar for the Holy Spirit. If you read it that way,
I agree wholeheartedly, and that's why my faith is so as well important to me, and it's everything to me. And I love to surround myself with people like you that have started with humility and through their successes, failures, and successes, remain successful through humility as well. If you want to protect yourself, your small, mid-sized business, if you want a bigger picture, an arc of a defense system to help humanity, we have to look to the leaders, the people who have been doing this for decades, not weeks. He's not a 19-year-old life coach. He's been doing this for a long time with a higher purpose. He has a desire that he must be what he can be to protect humanity. Chris Trokola, founder and CEO of ARC Defense Systems, thanks for joining me. This has been an amazing episode of Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.